The workshop model is really a model in which children are involved and they're engaged in the act of reading for most of it, with books that they have picked themselves. It's truly differentiated because children will be reading books that they've chosen and on levels that they can read. The workshop is not everybody doing the same. If you imagine like Santa's workshop, all the elves are not doing the same thing. They're off doing things that are going to help them grow as readers. So they're putting into action some of the things that have been taught to them, and either in conferring or mini lessons, and things that they feel like they need to get better at as they go off and independently put those things into practice. The reading workshop has components to it. It starts off usually with a mini lesson, which is whole class teaching. And then the children go off and they read for the bulk of the time. Then there are usually some kind of form of interruption in the middle just to refocus the kids or to teach them another strategy. It's usually, we refer to that as the mid-workshop teaching point. Then the kids read some more. And usually there's teaching share at the end that closes the workshop up. And that involves sometimes partner work. So in the reading workshop, one of the big things that teachers are trying to do is to build a community of readers where children are really owning their reading life and composing their reading life in the classroom in the company of others. And they're making decisions on what they're going to read and how they're going to read it, and even so much by where would make a good place for them to do the most powerful reading in the classroom. The teacher is really working on trying to get children to see reading as something that they work on and they have purposes for it, and that they think a little bit about who they are and how they'd like to grow. And ultimately, the teacher is really trying to get the children to become really good thinkers in reading in books, to grow ideas about the text and themselves in the world. In workshop teaching, one of the things that you'll notice when you go into classrooms is that teachers work really hard in creating a classroom environment that will foster a nice place for kids to want to read and compose their reading lives and author their own reading lives. The classroom is set up for a lot of independence and a lot of collaboration. You'll find tables and clusters of tables together to form little groups so that kids can actually easily talk to each other, whether they're going to talk to one other person or they're going to talk to two other people or maybe even four. It's really important in our teaching in a reading workshop to do that because we believe that books need to be shared and talked about. In the classrooms that you might visit, the room is really organized in a place where there's usually a meeting area. And that's really no different than other communities where people have a place where they can come together and talk and meet. And in that meeting area is where the teacher does every day, does her whole class teaching. It often has a rug, but it's not mandatory to have a rug. And some teachers even have couches to make it comfortable around the meeting area. None of that's required, of course. You'll make the classroom your own, but a lot of teachers have thought a little bit about how to create a place which feels like kind of like your home, where you would be doing a lot of your reading. If you're going to be teaching using the workshop, reading workshop model, you're going to have to spend some time thinking about your library. And so setting up your library is something that a lot of teachers think a lot about. And you want to make sure that the room is set up in such a way where kids have access to books. So the independent part where they're able to go up and find books that match them as readers, know where they are. And so a lot of the times the children have a part in setting up the library. The library's, a part of the library is usually sectioned off by levels. So children, once you've assessed them and you know what level they're at, they can go and find books that match them independently of you bringing books to them. Some teachers do this by guided reading letters, and others teachers do it by dot color. And that's up to you, depending on what your school has in place or wants to have in place, or you individually. The library also has a part of the library that is bins, not just by levels, where the kids can go in and find all the books by Jerry Spinelli, so author bins, or they have books bins that are created like adventure or mysteries by genre. There's some bins that the class will create, like our favorite books or our beloved books. And so the kids are really helping to shape the way their library looks and the way that they think it would help them be more powerful readers. Some schools, when they're first starting this, each teacher can't have their own library, a full library, because it will take time to go over time. And so teachers sometimes borrow books from each other. So from 9 to 10, I have the wheelie cart that has a library on it. It's in my room. And then when I'm finished, the kids put their books back, and then it goes down the hall to the next teacher. So teachers will share libraries. Teachers also take out a tremendous amount of books from public libraries or from the school library to fill up the shelves in their classrooms. The library is something that changes and grows. And so as your kids are reading more and growing more, you have to replenish it quite often. In the classrooms where teachers do workshop teaching, we try to think a little bit about what scaffolds can we put into place to help support our kids. And so you'll see a lot of charts. The chart that the teacher is in the class is working on right now, the strategies, is the one that's closest to the meeting area, or usually it's on the easel. And we try to create charts that's going to be kid-friendly, that they can read and understand. Sometimes they're co-created by the kids and the teachers. Other times the teachers already have it up or reveal it to the kids. So that they can actually write it in a way that makes most sense, and the kids will be able to understand it. Some of us are better at creating ones on the spot. Others of us have to think a little bit beforehand before we go write it down. Some teachers, to help scaffold children, is that they make the charts into smaller versions, like either like bookmarks or little handouts that the kids can keep in their folder or in their books, to help them remember some of the things that they're working on and carry it with them as they're reading. We often suggest that teachers make kids refer to it, that the teachers refer to it in their teaching, so that the kids don't see it as wallpaper, but actually keep using and referring to it across the unit of study or even after the unit of study is over. You will find that a lot of the times charts will go away and come back. It could be that the kids outgrow it, they don't need it anymore, or you're not referring to it as much. So if you put it away and then take it back out, it seems fresh and new to the kids after a while. We don't want to have a classroom where it's so covered with charts you can't, none of them you can read. So part of teachers that we work with do is they read them over and figure out which ones are the most valuable for their kids, and then they put some of them away. In reading workshop, tools can be fun for the kids. So we've imagined different kinds of ways that kids can use tools, and some of them are ones that are really helpful to help a child see themselves growing as readers, and for us to assess them. Like reading logs is something that you'll find that kids are logging in each and every day. The book they're reading, how many pages they've read, how long they read, not just at school but also at home, so they can compare and see what were they like as a reader in September to October. Kids might notice in September they read less, in October they read more. And then they might even realize that actually in September I read more books because I read smaller books than I did in October. So that they're able to see, like, who am I, where am I going, how have I grown. It also helps the teacher collect data and help kids set goals for themselves about where they want to be. And for kids to feel a sense of reflection, which up something to reflect upon. Other tools in the workshop is Post-its. A lot of people will find that the kids are post-iting crazy, that what is all that sticking out of their books? And it's usually just a way for kids to be reading. And most of us as adults do that. If you want to jot something, you just stick a Post-it on it. And it's a way for children to record their thinking and their ideas fast, either in their independent reading book or off the read-aloud book when it's being read. And often that's something that's used also in mini lessons, where kids will jot something, as a reflection of the teaching that's been taught. It's one of the things that kids do is look over their Post-its, before they're going to talk with a partner or with their club, and they find ideas that they want to bring and further develop. Another tool is reading notebooks. So we usually start with Post-its, and then in October, there's a way in which we start using the notebooks to study characters a little bit more in depth. And so we kind of don't like use them as like everybody's doing the same thing, just like everybody's not reading the same book. Children are really composing ways to use this notebook to help them grow their ideas or support their thinking that they're doing in the book. You'll also find that we've created in our classrooms book baggies. And a book baggie is it's a simple Ziploc baggie where the kids, a little plastic baggie, where the kids put three or four books that they're planning on reading that week or in the next few days. We don't want kids up and down from the library all the time because we want them reading, and also just creates management issues if in the middle of the workshop kids are going up to pick new books because they have nothing to read. So if you're like a JK reader, you might have like 12, 14 books in your baggie, because that's, you're going to go through them really fast. And if you're a child reading P, you might only have 3 books in your baggie, because that will sustain you for a week. The book baggies is a simple way for them to have their books there. And then usually their reading log goes inside of there, and some Post-its, and sometimes even a reading notebook. If you get those gigantic big ones, you can fit more in there. Book shopping in a week is usually spread out so that there's only 4 or 5 kids each day going to the library, and there's usually a schedule, and the children go up not during reading time, but usually during the unpacking or packing up to go home, in the mornings or in the afternoons. And teachers create a schedule once they know the kids a little bit that helps them know who do they have to support more. So a lot of times teachers, they can't be in the library every day, but on Thursdays, they put the kids that need help picking books, like finding their way to books. They will put them on one day so they know that they have to be there on Thursday morning when the kids are picking books.